it turns out that an ideal transformer, or let me put it this way, an ideal capacitor is the same as, it fulfills the requirements of an ideal transformer. They're one and the same thing. And it brings up the idea of magnetic capacitance, something that nobody thinks about, because we just assume, oh, a capacitor, all it stores is a dielectric charge. That's because we never make the plates out of ferromagnetizable material. Nor do we make the width, the thickness of the dielectric in the middle of that sandwich as thick as possible so as to kind of force us to create a humongous size capacitor in order to get the capacitance that we desire. And we'll be instituting eddy currents into those plates that will want to last as magnetic remnants, magnetic memory. But that will coincide with the polarization of the dielectric. And so we've got polarized eddy currents, we've got polarized electrostatic charges coincident with each other as neighbors. And that kind of capacitor, when we put it in the core, we take out the normal core of a transformer and we put this in. Let's say it's a rolled up capacitor to save on space because it's going to be very big. We're basically doing what Tesla suggested when his special generator was magnetically coupled to the hull of an electro U-boat that the Nazis applied it to during World War II. Except there, all they have to deal with for the dielectric is water, which is not a dielectric because the ions can move around. That's more like the electrolyte of a battery. And then you got the airspace, which is kind of like a dielectric, but not really, because those molecules can move around too. So you really don't get a true dielectric material in which the ions are stationary so that they can become polarized. If they're moving around, then they keep changing their polarity orientation because they're free to do so. So that's why his special generator had to have a constant frequency. That's the only reason why. I always wondered about that. It's because it was not an ideal capacitor, but he was trying to fake it, trying to push it and make it become an ideal capacitor, which is an ideal transformer. And to do that, he had to make up the difference by having a constant frequency fed into the thing. Now, if I would imagine if it's if we do it all, you know, the right way, and make it the core of an ideal transformer, or make it the core of a transformer to be the purpose of which is to be transform that non-ideal transformer into an ideal transformer, then we need to feed that capacitor a frequency, a moderate frequency, let's say 10,000 cycles per second. No current, because the capacitor will be getting in the way, the dielectric, other than, I mean, at least no DC current. And the voltage has to be very low at environmental levels of one part per millionth of a volt, a microvolt, or less, but not less than femtovolts. I believe that's somewhere in there. Let's say it's 100 femtovolts, I think, is the lower boundary, and I believe 10 volts is the upper boundary. So I usually use a microvolt, but be that as it may, because it's kind of in the middle between a million times. Less than that would be, more than a million would be a femto. Yeah, femto is pretty weak. Anyway, it's not exactly in the middle, but whatever. It's environmental levels. I mean, you're going to get environmental levels anyway, so why go below it, right? but why go above it? Because you don't need it. Now, to get that frequency, really, all you have to do is hook it up to a tree. Because a tree will give you that. A tree is an aerial. And it's actually an aerial better than the built-in aerial in your transistor radio. It'll boost your signal and squash your interference. So you could hook it up to a tree for to get a signal to go into the core of that transformer. And I'm guessing that that will be sufficient to turn it into an ideal transformer. That's my guess. Let's see, what else can I say about this? Now, it's not something you get to make mobile, necessarily, unless there's some way to do it with vacuum tubes or something. But it's something that might work, 'cause an ideal transformer, you can do so much with it. It is so easy to create an over-unity circuit. It really doesn't take any intelligence whatsoever. Plenty of people have done so. I'm not the only one, but they think it's a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. It's just something that we don't access because we don't know how to. We've lost the artistry, and maybe we never had it. You know, Tesla never got there, I think. That's, you know, the lab fires stopped his development of that concept. So he never pursued it. But when you think about it, just his, what was it? The, what's it called? What does he call it? I forget what he calls it, but there is a patent available for us to view. That's a plate, elevated plate, covered with a dielectric, and it goes down to one end of a capacitor, and the other end of the capacitor goes to ground, and then he takes a parallel connection to either side, the two terminals of that capacitor, to go to a pulsed load, in which he has a switch, like on a ratchet device, turning on and off to pulse, you know, the charges, or excuse me, the discharging of that capacitor. Meanwhile, it's charging up at a constant low rate. Well, if we replace that with the core of an ideal transformer that's being charged with a very low grade voltage pulses, well, actually, that's the tree connected to the core of an ideal transformer. That's essentially what that patent is describing. Or, if you don't want a tree, you can have a elevated aerial, like Tesla suggested. I like this. This is a good deal. I don't know if it's applicable to the Amman situation, but you don't even need the Amman situation. I mean, it's unfortunately, though, it's very big, so it would only be good for, like, your home power supply. Yet, if every home had a power supply like this, then cars would not need their own power supply to carry around, you know, such as batteries or whatever, or even the Amman device for that matter. All they needed would be an iron coil to pick up what the home power stations are transmitting through all of the copper transmission lines, messing up the power service for anybody trying to use standard conventional power. And only utilizable by somebody who has an iron core to do the proper transformation of that signal to be able to make use of it. Because a copper line doesn't have the iron requisite to pick up and receive the value of what is being emanated. So the home stations would have to have an iron coil to transmit that. And of course, you just stick in an iron coil along with your primary and secondary on your transformer, a third coil that loops to itself and basically helps preserve the charges on those two copper coils. So it would be intermixed among them. So you'd have three coils wound on that ideal transformer. And that would help transmit the damn thing so that it might power mobile devices such as electric cars. That might be the solution, because it's kind of ridiculous to put on a car what they did. You know, for demonstration purposes, it's fine and dandy, but why bother? They had to take it with them because it wasn't standard in every home. But if it was standard in every home, then it's not an issue. So regardless of how the power is generated, if you transmit it with an iron coil of a large enough size, then you could have electric cars powered by the homes in the area. You just couldn't drive them outside the city in the country. You'd have to keep them limited to the city. But it would be wireless transmission in the sense that it's going through the transmission lines, but to extend the transmission to a limit of 10 miles, but the transmission lines, you wouldn't need them hooked up to the power grid anymore. You just leave them in place and disconnect all of the power sources, such as hydroelectric dams and power stations and nuclear power plants and whatnot. You just remove all those generators of electric power from the equation and just keep the transmission, the copper transmission lines in the city, and maybe have them strung out on country roads, you know, in between cities, so that you could literally drive anywhere in the country and have power and not need to carry around a battery pack, and it would be unlimited. It would be like running, you know, they talk about it, right? But they talk about putting the lines in the road underneath the car, but you don't have to. It can be anywhere nearby, just so long as it's within 10 miles of the road. Yeah, that's true. See, so this is a technology that still is so far removed from conventional attitudes or consciousness. I mean, this is not complicated technology. This is really just, nobody believes it could be so simple and so possible. So nobody does it. But when studying Amon, even if we don't try to duplicate Amon or even understand exactly what he did, there's a lot to be gained by studying it, by acquiring a skill. And likewise, studying Nathan Stubblefield and Oliver Heaviside, the transatlantic telegraph cable problem, they're all related skills. Joseph Newman kind of comes in close because he had a lot of capacitance on his coil. And so he had a coil that had capacitance along with its inductance. So the idea of magnetic capacitance is, we're on the verge of stumbling across it. It's really too simple an idea for us to overlook it any further. I just didn't appreciate it. I didn't comprehend it because nobody builds capacitors that way. If anything, we make the plates out of aluminum, you know. But to make them out of ferromagnetizable material changes the whole picture of what you can do with that capacitor.